In Sudan, nearly 4 million people are set to vote in a referendum beginning this weekend that will almost certainly endorse secession for the South. The referendum was promised in a peace deal in 2005 that ended more than two decades of civil war between North and South Sudan. And analysts have warned that disagreements over the vote could reignite the conflict. Sudan's Catholic bishops have urged practical and prayerful support for a peaceful vote and have appealed to both sides to accept the outcome. But what are the feelings of the people in the South in the run-up to this crucial referendum on their future? Bishop Cesar Mazzolari is the Catholic bishop of Rumbek in southern Sudan, and he believes there is still mistrust among the local population concerning the intentions of Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir, despite his reassurances this week.
People are skeptical about his attitude towards us because his language changes from day to day. He menaces people. He is actually using threatening language if secession should take place. The next day he is able to say completely the opposite. I believe what the people of the South want to do is to tell them they want to be free. They want their identity.
The spotlight of the UN and the international community will be trained on southern Sudan throughout the voting process. And Bishop Mazzolari believes this will help the process to stay on track.
Yeah, we are very much counting on the participation of the international community because, as I mentioned before, we are already aware of several tricks, several maneuvers being used with individuals to buy their registration cards, to deviate the referendum in some way, to see what they can do to make it maybe fail. We are very much counting from the top down that the international community will be a good, faithful watchdog, but that they will also intervene positively and effectively to see that the referendum is not mistreated or in any way caused to fail, either through military attacks or conflict created by militias. Whether we can call it pressure or whether we can obtain it, it will have to be seen. I always refer to the people of Khartoum as sleeping dogs who never let us know what they have in mind until the last minute. So I do hope that the international community is keen on following their moves and trying to prevent the harm.
But what specific role has the Catholic Church been playing in southern Sudan to help ensure a peaceful vote and transition to independence? Bishop Mazzolari again.
Well, I don't like to answer this question because you have implied that we are in favor of independence. We are impartial. And what we have done to prepare the people is not to tell them how to vote. We instead have held, instead of one plenary meeting, we have held two plenary meetings in 2010. One in July, which concluded with a letter, prepare the people, on the 22nd of July. And we met again as a plenary, and we issued another letter to prepare the people on the 14th of November. The bishop, far from telling the people what to do, are at the same time saying that Sudan will never be the same again. The church has also instituted from the 21st of September to the 1st of January 2011, a 101-day of prayer for a peaceful referendum. So this is the church very busy with procession, marches, candlelight services, novenas, fasting, trying to prepare the soul of the people not on how to vote, but to vote and to obtain peace and do it peacefully.
In the run-up to the referendum, many analysts expressed fears that disagreements about the outcome could spark renewed conflict between North and South. But Bishop Mazzolari believes those fears have lessened of late.
When it comes to security and the future, we never know how things can turn. I believe the scenario of war, not a likely scenario, but it could be a possibility if things really go wrong. Our attitude has been to prepare for a peaceful referendum. This is our dream. This has been our prayer for 101 days, and that prayer momentum continues. The North is not in favor to the secession, but it is our hope that they will be able to take it well enough to avoid a war confrontation.
Joseph Donnelly is the permanent delegate to the UN for Caritas Internationalis and has been closely following the run-up to this referendum in southern Sudan. He explains why there is still some lingering fears about whether a peaceful outcome of the vote can be assured, although, like Bishop Mazzolari, he says those fears have recently lessened.
The basic fear, which is quite reasonable and predictable, stemmed from the sense that if the Comprehensive Peace Agreement was set in place 5 years ago, and it's taking 5 years to get to this point, there have been so many helter-skelter zigzags toward any kinds of agreement that there just might be an outbreak of violence to profoundly reject it, as opposed to these, you know, more subtle piecemeal rejections. But it seems that far more stakeholders have been at the table, near the table, around the table this time, that it has helped perhaps to hold the pieces fragilely together in ways people weren't sure they had the confidence that that could happen. Now, there's huge distrust almost always, but there are more players at the table, which has brought more sense of the possibility getting to this moment. Though I would add all advisors, several I spoke with yesterday, in these days of prep and review, continue to say getting to the referendum itself is number one. Getting through the referendum is number two. Coming out of the referendum into a new time, new negotiations, peaceful agreements is probably the most fragile part as well. So the fear will stay, but the encouragement has grown.
And the fear is presumably being fed by the fact that there's quite a lot of unresolved issues, for instance, concerning the disputed border province of Abyei, so, you know, settling the final borders, the question of citizenship, and, of course, the very prickly question of division of oil revenues. Are these all factors that could risk derailing the process?
Absolutely. Every single one of them is a significant factor in its own right, and collectively they add to whether this has any substance or not, because if the vote for, which we would say is most of all a vote for independence, that the southern Sudanese have a right to choose their life, choose their future, choose their border, none of it has much of a practical application to a better life if these corollary issues are not resolved.
Although there are some people saying that this disputed province of Abyei threatens to become what they call the Kashmir of the Sudan.
Yeah. No, it has that potential. There's no question about it. And I can tell you that the voice of the church leaders, the Caritas in country, all have warned both national, international, and even UN leaders that Abyei is not a simple matter, not a matter that's going to be let go of, and therefore there must be as persistent a push about that piece of it.
And coming back to this question of oil revenues, do you think the South will be willing to perhaps let Khartoum have a share in that, or are they going to be saying, well, this is on our territory, assuming, of course, the vote results in independence, and so we should be keeping the spoils, as it were, from the oil revenue?
Well, I think the most basic and natural reaction is that people have felt, you know, betrayed and oppressed in this situation, the South, for so long, that there isn't a certainly there isn't a general public willingness to share one drop of revenue, one drop of oil further. And therefore, I think that's a natural reaction. However, at a more governmental deal-breaking moment, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of acquiescence to some degree for either some prearranged short amount of time, if it intends that we'll break through. If it's really seen as another game, door is closed, the purse is sealed, I think there'll be violence.
Now, if, despite everything, the outcome of the vote does lead to renewed fighting, do you think that both sides do have an appetite for renewed war, you know, given the fact that this was a civil war that went on for well over two decades? Isn't there a lot of war fatigue by now?
I think that's a great question, and I think that's an apt interpretation of it. That's certainly part of what we hear from communities, civil leaders, and religious leaders, that people are so tired of this. They want another life, that war has been the only life that they, their children, have known, and feel that it's almost a foregone conclusion. That's our life. However, with that fatigue, the big fear factor, the additional fear factor, would be the splinter groups, little groups of rebels, different groups who instigate, who only know that way of life. And so for them, that's the most natural course. And I think that's where there's been some great work at the level of trying to bring more stakeholders, even to local community regional conversations, to ensure that the splinter groups and hostile pockets do not have the greatest hand in this vulnerable moment. And the instability is so encultured in the community that convincing people it's worth it has needed to be prodded quite consistently, which is one of the most active parts of the church work as well, preparing people for the best while acknowledging there still may be difficulties ahead.
But now, let's go back to Bishop Mazzolari of Rumbek to hear what he said when I asked him that same question about what would be the worst consequences of a return to war.
Well, it will be a terrible thing if that happens, because it will be a war all over Sudan. It will not be like the last war just in the south. But I am optimistic. I have always been, and the people of Sudan I've managed to confirm my optimism. In the last verdict, these people know how to endure beyond our expectation. They have had enough of the war. It will be a struggle. It will be poverty. It will be lack of things. It will be something that will take some years to work out. But I have the distinct feeling that these people want it so bad that they will find a way to achieve it through struggle, but not through the war.
That was Bishop Cesar Mazzolari of Rumbek in southern Sudan. And you also heard the voice of Joseph Donnelly, permanent delegate to the UN for Caritas Internationalis.